Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Sports City Chefs. My name is Carolyn Fisher, and Alan Fisher is here with me in the studio of Arming Champions Radio. And what better, greater privilege can you have than interviewing your own husband, who happens to be an arm wrestling icon, a living legend in the sport? And Alan often calls it the sport of arm wrestling because it actually is a sport and they are athletes. And I can tell you, after being married 30 years to this man, after he is 59 years old and he is every bit an athlete as ever there was one. So tonight, I hope for this next hour, we're going to hopefully get out some secrets of arm wrestling, what makes him tick in the mind of a arm wrestling champion, some of his arm wrestling tips, what you need to do to become an arm wrestling great, or even just an amateur, an average arm wrestler, if you will, pardon the phrase. There's no such thing as average, I would say, because this sport is kind of like when you watch something like, oh, I don't know, Harold and Maude, the movie. You know, there's this little cult following of it, or some other movie that just kind of comes out from behind the scenes. Well, there is a tremendous underground of arm wrestling greats and arm wrestling competitions going out there. And one of the most common things I get from people when they hear about the fact that Alan is an arm wrestler, or we go somewhere and they say, wow, you're an arm wrestling champion. I didn't even know there was arm wrestling, that it was such a big deal. That's one of the most common things. So we're going to hear from Alan tonight about all the things that is arm wrestling. We're going to kind of go underground as well. And if you're on your internet and you want to look up a website, you can look it up right from the get-go and follow along with us. It's wallunderground.com, WALunderground.com. And you can look there. You can also go to armingchampions.com, which is our website. And we want to share the sponsors that are tonight. We'll be looking at that. And we'll be taking Alan on a journey of questions here. I hope to get some real good nuggets of truth out of Alan. So please help me welcome Alan Fisher, the great arm wrestling champion of three decades. Hi, Alan.
Well, hello there, babe.
Well, let's keep it all very perfunctory and professional. So tell me, Alan, how does it feel to be an arm wrestling great after all these years and to be interviewed and broadcast over the airwaves this way?
You know, it's quite interesting to me to think that I've been able to survive and stay healthy over 3.5 decades in the sport of arm wrestling, and even in life, it is an interesting thing. You know, I've always said to people and anybody that knows me, if you give your body the right kinds of food and fuel, and you treat your body with respect, you'll be able to overcome a lot of things that people have not been able to overcome. So, you know, it's just, to me, it's a very interesting thing to think that I could actually be where I am and go to places that I have been with you even, Carolyn. It's astounding to me.
Yeah, and I know that you love God, and we'll be getting to that and sharing what, you know, you feel made you a champion and who you feel made you a champion. We'll be talking about that later on in the show. And I'm just going to share a little bit for our audience your accolades and what you're all about, because you have a platform now. You've been on you started arm wrestling years ago, and you're from Los Angeles, you're married, you have two children, you live in San Diego. That's the basics there. You have a large family that's all throughout the United States, and you've traveled the world. You've been on Over the Top movie with Sylvester Stallone. You played a part in that, and we'll talk about that in a second. Then you've been in numerous, hundreds and hundreds of arm wrestling tournaments. It's been your life. And you've lost some, but won most. And you also do a training camp, an arm wrestling training camp, and I'd like you to be addressing that as well and where that came from and why you do it, because clearly you have the heart of the arm wrestling community in the United States. And not only that, but it's now growing into something called Wall Underground, WAL, and you can explain that. And then it's going into ESPN. So you've kind of been in the media in this really cool thing. And then the other day you were just going out to just, going out with your wife on a little get-together out for a beer. And sure enough, people recognized you the minute they came in, and it was a conversation changer. So how did this all come about? I mean, why arm wrestling? You could have picked anything else, but why arm wrestling?
Yeah, that's a great question. Why arm wrestling? You know, I was never one to actually be in the gym and train with the boys, as it were. I almost really believe that when it comes to why arm wrestling, there's this tenacity about me, this relentless just not going to give up no matter what. I've had so many people in my life saying that I would not be able to do certain things, achieve certain things. I wouldn't be normal. And, you know, I almost think that's where my beginnings come from. I was born with a club foot. They put cast on me constantly, even though I kept ripping them off. Maybe that's why they kept having to put them on. And it made my hands very strong. It also gave me the, how do you want to say it, like the stubbornness to just move on in spite of everything that's going on. So I actually got into, and I've always done things, I have to say, I've always done things with my hands. I always like squeezing things, tearing things, ripping things, pushing things, pulling things, ropes. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and you would see kids playing on the swing. Well, people would want to be able to get on that swing and have some fun. And I thought, yeah, I tried it a few times, and it wasn't just for me. I had equilibrium problems. But instead of swinging on swings, I would be the guy climbing the poles that are holding the swings. When people are playing tetherball, I would want to actually climb that tetherball pole, you know, things like that. And then I finally got into swimming because I pretty much grew up on the beach there in the Malibu area, Santa Monica. And I was just always a swimmer. In fact, my mom said it was so difficult to try to get me out of the water because I just wanted to stay in all the time. So in high school, I became a swimmer. And I really believe that's what developed my arm wrestling abilities was swimming, because you're working a muscle called the subscapularis muscle, which you guys out there, you arm wrestlers, or you want to be arm wrestlers, it's like it's your inward and outward rotation of your arm. And I was very, very strong at it. So I think really when I think about why arm wrestling, I think I was made to do this. There was no doubt in my mind. I certainly have a different mental focus than most people do. but then I just began to develop all-around power and strength and endurance and picking up all the technology or the technical aspects of arm wrestling.
Wow. And, you know, everybody talks about everyone having a story, an arm wrestling story. A lot of people do. They'll say, I remember when I arm wrestled Uncle Joe on the farm, or I remember the first time I arm wrestled my dad. Or there always seems to be a story that someone feels compelled to share. It's almost like it's everything American to arm wrestle, because it gets the girl, or, you know, wins the car, or buys the dinner, or sends someone home packing. There's so much to identifying yourself when you win or lose an arm wrestle. It's like the easiest thing. There's hardly any equipment needed, and off you go. What was your story, the first kind of place where you first arm wrestled? Now, I know that there's a story about John Bernardo and Magic Mountain, and we'll touch on that in a minute. But what was the first time where you put elbow to table and arm wrestled?
Well, I'd have to say it was in Valencia, California, at Magic Mountain. My friends saw some ad in a newspaper for this tournament, and they said, you ought to go. Okay, fine, I'll go. In fact, come to think of it, it was probably my when I was in Bible school, because the guys in my Bible school, they like to arm wrestle me. Bob Carver, Tom Abel, all these different guys, and if they're listening, they know who they are. Bob actually beat me one time, and he really holds that over my head to this day. But yeah,
so that's actually when it started then. You actually started before the Magic Mountain. That's interesting, because you actually, when you were in Bible college, what was the very first arm wrestling match and why? Because I've never heard this story.
I would almost say it would be against Tom Mayville. Tom Mayville was one of my best friends in high school, and also became the best man in my wedding early years later. We were actually roommates there in that dorm when I was going to college, and we just started arm wrestling. I think that was my very first time. I really cannot remember if I ever arm wrestled anybody before that.
Okay, so then you were encouraged to go to Magic Mountain, and you arm wrestled, and some people said that there was something in you and about you, and you believed them, and you started training. And what happened during that training? Why did you train? I mean, why do it at all? Why didn't you just say, you know, that's great, that's nice? What was the drive behind your desire to continue arm wrestling?
Well, back then, I weighed about 150 pounds. And I'm talking really close to 150 pounds. My hand, as most people know, is quite large and very strong from all that tearing and ripping and throwing rocks and just different things like that. And when it comes to that, it's like I put my arm on the arm wrestling table at that tournament at Magic Mountain, and that actually was a qualifying national event through the National Arm Wrestling Association, which is called the NAWA back then. Doesn't exist anymore. But when I put my arm on that table, it was so strange, Carolyn. I began to not just get up there with all this power and strength and everything, but immediately in my mind, I began to think how that guy was gripping my hand. What kind of pressure did he have in each one of those fingers? How his wrist was cocked? If he was pulling back to his chest or pushing to his side? I was looking at his feet. I was looking at his shoulders. I was looking at his eyes. It was from that very outset that I knew I would do this for the rest of my life. I knew that I would be an arm wrestler. Whether I'd be a champion, I had no idea. I walked away from Magic Mountain placing, I believe, fifth place in that qualifying event, which means I didn't qualify, but still, that was pretty good for somebody that's never been up to a table before.
Okay, that's amazing. Now, we're not going to do tonight the timeline of your life because we just don't have time, but I really do want to touch on what your secret is, your toughest matches, some injuries, and some upcoming tournaments, and what people can do if they want to get into arm wrestling. And lastly, I'm going to kind of play the devil's advocate and ask some tough questions. As you know, I do that with all my guests, and they come through it swimmingly. So I want to ask you, people ask me, what is his secret? He's 59, he has all these world titles, and he's just like dominating the sport. And you've got this year, and we're going to talk about that passing of the torch, because that's another question people ask me is, how long is he going to go, and when do you know to stop? But what is your secret? What is your secret?
Wow, what is my secret?
Okay, I'm going to let you think about that one. I'm just going to let you rest on that one and think about it.
It's not really a secret, okay? There's no secret to it. It's a secret because nobody else knows it. No, I'm just kidding. People that know me, they know who I am and what I'm about. My diet is, for the past 20 years, has been a pretty strict diet. I eat lots of fruits, vegetables, grains, fibers, and drink lots of water as my fluid. I'm not drinking soda. I'm not eating fast foods. if there's a secret out there that people need to know about staying healthy as you get older, please start out young. I wish I would have done that when I first started. But I was a junk food person like most people. I ate crappy food. I ate fast foods. And for the past 20 years, I just don't. I mean, you rarely see me in a place like that eating that kind of food. And especially when it comes to even like greasy foods. You know, my kids know me as someone that when I eat pizza, I take the oil off the pizza off the cheese before I actually eat it. And now they've got that habit, and I'm thankful for that.
I was going to say that you're one of your vices is pizza, but it's nice to know you're human and you do eat pizza. But when you do, it's most likely healthy. You know, like you said, you squash off the grease. So it's not like you're like you do have a strict diet, but it's not so strict that you won't have a pizza.
Right. Well, pizza is definitely one of my vices, and I love pizza. I'll probably do some shortcuts there and add a bunch of veggies to it.
So now let me ask you, I know that your diet is important, and your love for God is another one, and we're going to just touch on that in just a second, but I want to ask you, because of your diet, do you feel that you are healthier and you have less injuries, or have you had injuries? I mean, have you ever broken someone's arm? That's one thing that people ask me often.
Let's stay with one question at a time, otherwise I'll lose you. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you know what? I did. I was an amateur arm wrestler. I was just getting into the sport. I don't even think I went to a few tournaments, and I got invited to a party, and this actual this attorney who actually owned the home, he said that anybody comes in that front door, I'm the one they have to arm wrestle to get through. And I thought, wow, that's the best training there is right there. So I did actually, I showed this guy one time when he wanted to challenge me. He said he'd never been beaten in arm wrestling before. Well, I didn't want to see him get hurt. So I kept showing him how he can arm wrestle safely and not break his arm. And after about eight times, I said, okay, you just go and I'll just try to catch you. In other words, don't slam them because I've never done that sort of thing. And the guy just went right into that broken arm position and snapped his arm. That was the only one I was ever instrumental in. I think at that point I became, I got a weak stomach, so I don't handle it very well. Even watching somebody get in a broken arm position is something hard for me to actually stand there and watch. But that's probably why I'm so cautious. I'm so much about safety. Got a great video up on the internet, Carolyn, about this that my friend Dave DePew and I put together about arm wrestling safety. If anybody wants that, they can certainly email me, get a hold of me at mail@armpullers.com, and I'd be glad to send them the link.
Now, I want to say thank you to Dave DePew, too, because he has been very instrumental in helping get some of the arm wrestling off the ground. He's run a great tournament, and he is setting up a big tournament coming up on May 9th right here in San Diego, and people can come to it, Alan, or can they attend it or watch it
Absolutely.
On the internet, or what? How do they find out about it?
Well, they can go to walunderground.com and look it up there. And I have to warn people that if you want to enter this, whether amateur or open, what they call professionals, you must register and register very quickly. You can't just show up at this event and say, "Oh, I want to enter."
Okay, so wallunderground.com, and then say your email again. It's mail@armpullers.com?
Correct. A-R-M-P-U-L-L-E-R-S.
Okay, so that is an upcoming tournament in which you're qualifying for a big tournament in Las Vegas. And what's the date of the one in Las Vegas?
That is May 30th and the 31st. I think that tournament is going to have hundreds of people in it because the World Arm Wrestling League has been going putting on arm wrestling tournaments all over the United States. 100 tournaments, 100 cities is what they've got on their website. They're doing very well with that. They've added, from what I understand, over 1,500 people since the beginning, and they're still not done. I'm very grateful to Steve Kaplan and his entire team, the people that have gone over there from Undertow Films. And now we have with us, as anybody can see, we have ESPN on our side, and ESPN is has proclaimed at the last event, the last final event in January, that they want to make arm wrestling a known sport. Wow, that just made my heart jump when I heard that. So we're pretty excited about that. And yes, that qualifier is coming up this Saturday, and we welcome you all there.
Can anybody come and just watch?
Yes, they certainly can. And there's, like I said, if I didn't make myself clear, there are lots of WAL tournaments throughout the United States, and if you go to that website, you can find out which one.
And they can go watch, is there a cover charge, or do you have to watch the whole thing, or is it little bits, or is it long time, or what?
Well, I think this tournament's going to be roughly about, my guess is about 30 people. So it's not going to be a long tournament. It's going to be very well run. Dave DePue and his team are going to do very well with it. And it looks like
when you say 30 people, does that mean, when you say 30 people, does that mean 30 minutes of arm wrestling or 3 hours of arm wrestling?
No, I would guess maybe at the max that tournament might be 3 hours, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you want to take this call?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you took off. That's okay. Sorry.
Okay. So what was your toughest match? Before I ask you the toughest match, I want to ask you, what is the link to ESPN? You said that ESPN wants to make it a really well-known sport. How did Wall and ESPN get connected, or do you know?
Well, I believe that all came through the people who did all the work for the Game of Arms. We're talking Undertow Films, Matt Renner, Ethan Prochnick, Dan Alani, Ben Murray. They pretty much have been working with ESPN, and ESPN is on board big time. If you want to see the schedule for ESPN, again, just go to the website. WallUnderground.com.
Okay. And at this point, I want to thank our sponsors. And the first sponsor that we have is EnergyNutrition.net. It is encapsulated fruits and vegetables, and it's a company that's been backed by solid research. If you don't get enough fruits and vegetables in your diet, or if you are tired a lot or don't have energy or want to just stay on the edge of health, seriously consider taking Juice Plus. It's fruits and vegetables encapsulated, and you can find out all that information out through energynutrition.net. And now, Alan, I want to ask you about your toughest match. What was the toughest one, and why was it the toughest one for you?
Wow, that's a really difficult question. Which is my toughest match? Wow. Well, let's define what tough is. Is it because I've got myself in trouble? Is it because I've had to pull different kind of techniques to go for the win? Is it because I've lost? So how would you define toughest match?
Okay, I would say, what is the match that you feel you could have won had you changed something of yourself or your training or your mind?
You know, let me go back to that original question, kind of, if I can, because it's going to answer that. Dave Patton from Virginia was by far the toughest matches I think I've had in my, I think we arm wrestle for, probably roughly 15 years. And Dave and I went back and forth. There was no question when there was an arm wrestling tournament, who would win? It would either be Dave or myself. We would just take out the competition and want to meet each other in the finals. Dave was a master at technique, had the tremendous power, endurance, unbelievable arm wrestler. So I would obviously say it would be Dave Patton would be the toughest ever.
Wow. Now, you've been a formidable force all these years, and there's lots of up-and-coming people in arm wrestling today. Has technique changed? Are people just getting stronger, or has it always been a group of strong people coming and going, and you've stayed through the whole thing? How has arm wrestling changed, or has it at all?
What an awesome question that is, because they actually discussed this in my arm wrestling training camp. A little bit about the history of where it started. For us, it was pretty much, I wasn't around in the early 50s, but it definitely Petaluma, California, the World Wrestling Championships through Dave DeBoto and Bill Sobranis. And it was wrist wrestling. There was no peg on the table. You put your elbows down on a hard surface, and we'll say your right elbows, and you grabbed with your left hand underneath the V in the arm your opponent. And back then, that was wrist wrestling. And what that did was it really, in the beginning, I think was pretty much a forearm, bicep, shoulder, which, you know, just that all that inward strength and a lot of what we call pressing or an inside move to pin somebody. And I think, I don't know who it was. It's a great question as to who started pulling backwards, what we call today in arm wrestling loading. Don't know who started it. But arm wrestling or wrist wrestling began to change because you'd have these big guys who'd come crushing in on your arm, and if you could load or pull back to your chest, you could actually stop that guy, what I would call a leveraging technique. And that's pretty much what happened, was that you'd have guys that would be loading back on their opponent and taking them away from that inside ability to crush people. And from there, it pretty much went to the sport of arm wrestling, or arm wrestling through I believe the ones who first started making arm wrestling tables was John Wolseley out of San Diego, California, and Ron Bennett. He's also in California. They designed what would become the World Professional Arm Wrestling Table, or the WPAA table, and Southern California Arm Wrestling. So they were the ones that first kind of put a peg, to my knowledge, of an arm wrestling table. And the whole thing, actually, the whole sport began to change in a different direction. From there, it went to more of that loading, more of the side pressure, more back pressure on the hand, you know, all different kinds of techniques. And the table, like, for instance, the WPA table, was a wide table compared to the original World Wrist Wrestling Championship table was narrow. So it changed quite a bit. You know, people with longer arms had it seemed like they had more advantage. And then from that, it kind of went to the in 1986, it went to 85 actually, was when it pretty much began. You have Marvin Cohen, who was the mastermind behind the Over the Top tournament in Las Vegas of July 1986. And they used that same Ernie Jeffries or the Jeffrey Brothers table for that event. So, and now you've got, from there, it just started going worldwide. Techniques changed quite a bit. You had people all around the world training for the sport, even to this day. And people have become masters of the various tables. You even had sit-down tables where you actually arm wrestle sitting down, and that was in the 80s also. We don't really see it that much anymore, but things have changed quite a bit in the 3.5 decades I've been in the sport. And then you had, I have to add this one, you have the Game of Arms table, AMC's hit reality show called The Game of Arms, and that was a completely different table also, they did away with the staggering pads there and stayed with one pad about 8 inches wide and 9 inches in length, and very comfortable to work with. A lot of the tables we have, they're just not comfortable on your elbow. I just had a conversation with somebody just now about that whole the elbow pads.
Wow, you've given us quite a history. That's really great to know from the onset what's gone on. And I'm going to be playing the devil's advocate and asking some tough questions here. But before I do, the last question I have before I go to that direction, how do you prepare mentally? Because I'll just give a hint to the audience, and being your wife, I can honestly say you changed 2 weeks before our tournament, and then you stay that way until 2 weeks after the tournament, because it takes a while for you to kind of come down from this focused place. And I actually see it in your face a good 2 weeks before a tournament. Like, it's almost like you get game on. What is it that you do mentally? What are you thinking about? How are you preparing for it? How do you control it at a tournament? Because people have said you're called Mr. Intensity. There's so much energy and intensity. And when you're arm wrestling, it's like a lot of hurry up and wait. You have to control that energy. And we've seen it in amateur arm wrestlers. And even when we were brand new, you have all this energy. You just want it to happen because you're just freaking out and you're so excited and it's all down to seconds, but you have to wait an hour until your class comes up, your weight class, and then it's this burst of energy all at the ready go. But you've over these years come to be able to somehow harness all this energy to that ultimate moment. How are you doing that? What do you do?
Well, another great question. Interesting. I think preparation comes naturally for me. When I said that I really honestly believe that this is what I was going to do the rest of my life, that this is what God designed for me, I take that seriously, very seriously, to the point where I am constantly thinking about my grip, about angles, about positions. I mean, you know me, Karen, I actually have, when we sit and we watch some kind of show, I've got some kind of thing sitting by the chair that I can actually train with, because I just don't want to just be sitting there doing nothing.
Okay, let me stop you just there for just a second. Let me stop you right there. You've got an implement in your hand, you're watching TV. Some might say, well, that's just physical training. How is that training your mind? What are you thinking mind-wise?
Well, because your mind has to talk to all your muscles, your ligaments, your tendons, your everything that you want to accomplish comes, well, you know, according to Jesus, it comes from a heart, which actually goes to the mind. So in my heart, I know I'm a champion. In my heart, I know that I can achieve things beyond the norm. So I let my mental capacity take over that part of it and start talking to the point where when I'm doing pronation, supination moves, when I'm sitting there watching some TV program, Anthony Bourdain or something like that, I mean, there's pressure in each one of my fingers and pressure on my thumb when I'm doing that, okay? So mentally, my mind is talking to each and every one of those digits. It's telling me what angle my wrist is at. It's telling me if there's too much pressure. So my mind is constantly talking about, am I doing this right? Am I causing any injury? How long can I do this for? Do I push past what, if I did it for 30 seconds, can I now even make it to 40 seconds? So your mind is constantly, or my mind is constantly involved in every training that I do. Even when it comes to grippers, it's the exact same thing, right? I've got certain pressure on my hand or on my digits. When I feel that pressure is hurting one because maybe there's pressure on the bone or something, I'll let off that finger. Well, my mind has to tell my hand what's going on. And it's all part of training, every single bit of it, whether I do it for speed, you know, whether I'm doing it for cadence, whether I do it for for power and endurance, for strength. No matter what I'm doing, that mind is actively involved all the time. And it has to be, because you ask yourself, guys, these questions. When you go to the gym, sometimes you go, and it's like, I really don't feel like being here. Well, this happened to me a few months ago when I went to the gym. I was like, I was just not in the mood. I don't even know why. But mentally, I had to push through it. You know, I carried my arm wrestling table up to the gym. I spent 10 minutes setting this thing up, moving all the weights I need and stuff. And I pushed myself to it. I said, I can do this. I need to do this, no matter what. And I put my mind in a different state. And I actually trained that day for 2.5 hours. And it was a great training. So you really got to get your mind in a different state when you're looking at the sport.
Okay, and then that's really great. I get that. Now, when you're at a tournament and you're sitting there on the stairs and you're just about to go up and there's the finals kind of thing and you've gone through some people and you know you're a champion and you're sitting there on the stairs and you're just about to get called for the semifinals or between second and third and fourth and you're right up there, what is going through your mind? That's another question people ask me most of the time when they see you staring off and you're sitting there. There's no way anybody would ask you, hey, do you got a mint or something? You know, nobody would talk to you because they can't come near you. What is going through your mind?
You're not going to believe this. I don't think anybody's going to believe it, but nothing's in my mind. I clear my mind of all thoughts. There have been times, in fact, the last WAL tournament in January when I pulled Giannis O'Malins, it was probably the first time ever that I can remember actually talking to myself about who I was. I can overcome this. You know, God made me this. I've been able to achieve. That was the only time I can honestly remember of actually thinking. And I ended up actually taking second, so maybe I shouldn't think.
That's a great point. Okay, this is the part of the interview or the part of our show where I ask you some of the hard questions as devil's advocate, as it were. So are you ready for the two? I only have two tough questions for you, okay? Are you ready for them?
Yeah, I'm going to do my best.
Okay. Why is arm wrestling so, it shows up on the radar and then it goes away and then it comes up again and then it doesn't. It can't seem to get off the ground like you might find, cage fighting or, you know, they've got luge, they've got skeet shooting and Olympics. And why can arm wrestling not break free into the Olympics? We've never seen it there. It doesn't seem to get sanctioned. Why does it keep coming and going?
Well, that's a loaded question, especially when it comes to why aren't we in the Olympics. Since day one, let me just touch on that, for example, in the early 80s, we were told that arm wrestling would be in the Olympics. And here it is 3.5 decades, and it's still not. And my personal feeling is there's no real unity in the sport yet, and everybody wants control. So, that's my personal thoughts about it. There may be other reasons. I'm sure if we had people calling in this, we could have this. This could be a week of questions. Because
I've
read message boards on this subject and everything. Why does the sport go in and out? Well, number one, I think it's economy. Economy affects it quite a bit. Over the top, there was $5,000 given for first place. And it's a really good question that nobody has been able to answer. Over the top, actually, after that, there just wasn't that much arm wrestling anymore for quite a while. I believe until UConn Jack who came along, I want to say in the 90s, and actually and ran some pretty amazing events. But, you know, my personal feeling is, and I'm going to say this from my personal and professional point of view, I believe the sport of arm wrestling is about to change in a huge way with the World Arm Wrestling League. You couldn't have better people out there supporting us, us arm wrestlers, or anybody who wants to get in the sport of arm wrestling. You've got, again, you've got Steve Kaplan from the World Arm Wrestling League, the president and founder. You've got the executive producers of the show, The Game of Arms. A few of them have moved over to the World Arm Wrestling League. And then now you have ESPN, who for the first time in my ears has said, we want to make arm wrestling a sport. We want to put it on the map. I have never seen, ever seen the growth that we have right now in North America in the sport of arm wrestling because of the brilliance of the marketing, of getting Travis Bajant behind the World Arm Wrestling League, the guy who's actually out there talking up in a huge way and is the man behind the 100 events, 100 cities. I mean, man, it's incredible. To add over, what, 1,600 people in just the last few months to the sport of arm wrestling. And then you've got, I don't know if they're behind this or not, but you've got commercials now. Wait a minute, even on the Super Bowl, we had an arm wrestling commercial. So we have that, we've got other commercials going on, and then we've got A-listers, you know, big celebrities actually out there arm wrestling and different talk shows and different things like that. I'm really excited because I'm seeing arm wrestling out there more.
Well, I love it. I love it. Yeah, I love your excitement, and you're absolutely right. Now, I'm going. This last question that I have, that's the difficult one, is going to feed into our last little piece, and I want to talk about newcomers because when you said celebrities are not built for arm wrestling. You've stayed the course through all the cycle where there wasn't, and you've kept on, and you've even other people now are following back into the sport of arm wrestling when they arm wrestled for a while and then they left it to have families and then they came back, and a lot of them have said it's because of your staying in the game for so long. And indeed, some other arm wrestling greats have stayed in the game too, like John Brzink and things like that, and people like him. But celebrities aren't built for arm wrestling, so they get up there and they mess around and they kind of play around and they say, oh, there's no way I could beat you, Alan, and all that stuff. Now, the question is there long-term damage to arms? And if someone gets into it, how do you prevent, damage to the arm? And what are some tips for newcomers? If they said, yeah, you know what, this arm wrestling thing kind of sounds like fun, I'd like to mess around with it a bit, what would be some cautionary comments that you would say? Obviously, go at it slow, don't get into bad position, and get a good person that's going to train you properly for positioning and, you know, make sure that you're a well-rounded individual. But what else would you add to a newcomer coming into the sport that says, hey, I want to arm wrestle?
Well, first of all, I would send people over to the WALunderground.com because they have some very short, very informative videos on arm wrestling. Even some of my safety tips are actually out there. So I would definitely do that.
That's
for me,
amazing.
Because like, I get a lot of people, Carolyn, to want to actually come and train with me. And I'm all about the safety more than anything. So, for example, we've got two new guys show up at our training here. And the only thing I'm actually going to let them do is I'm going to show them basic stuff. And I'm going to let them learn that if they can curl a weight with a dumbbell, and they put their arm on the table like they're curling the weight, they can arm wrestle. And I have to watch them. I have to make sure that they get that concept first, that that's really all arm wrestling is. Once you get, you know, strong enough and confident enough, you can start changing the angles of how people pull. But pulling with the forearm, the bicep, using the pec in the correct way, you know, what they call in weightlifting or powerlifting, whatever, the correct form. That's all important. But for all you newcomers, for all you people who really would like to get involved in arm wrestling, I would say the most important thing for you to do is to learn the movement. And if you show up at some arm wrestling training that's going on, some practice or some workout, don't let the guys beat you up, pound you, smash you, you know, show you nothing. Ask them to give and take with your strength, with your power. Work back and forth. That's probably some of the best advice I can give anybody, because I've done arm wrestling training camps throughout North America, and I see this so much that when I've been to people's trainings is that people get in there and they don't give and take with each other. Little teaching goes on. It doesn't have to be detailed teaching, but just, you know, the basic stuff. So start out slow, start out with lightweight, learn the movements, learn the positions. Send me an email. I'll send you a link on our arm wrestling training channel in YouTube, which, again, is mail@armpullers.com. And I'll be glad to do that and help you out any way that I can.
Now, that's interesting you say that, Alan, because you do have the heart of the American, and even around the world, they love the fact that you'll give of yourself. You're not really about the money, although money is, you know, makes the world go round, but you're there for them, and they all know that. You're kind of like the I don't want to say the father of arm wrestling, but you really helped others be better arm wrestlers. And a lot of the guys that train here at your workout center are, it's almost like a kind of a brotherhood, and they're encouraging one another, and there's this kind of fraternity of arm wrestling where they do give and take, and they don't just set out to, you know, crush each other's egos. And so there's more to arm wrestling than just that. There's give and take in arm wrestling, and there's give and take in life. And I'm wondering, yes, you know, what you do, you know, when people are arm wrestling and you see that, you kind of settle down and you say, okay, now let's do this. And I want to read off the things that I've learned so far, because I've been taking notes, and these are the things that I've kind of gathered
so good
from you.
This, Carolyn.
Okay, so here I got 8, so let me see how well I do. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, 1, treat your body with respect. 2, stay relentless, stay tenacious. 3, get off and stay off junk food and greasy food early. 4, take your calling seriously. 5, muscle has memory. 6, when you know something, let your mind talk to your muscles. Number 7, push through your mental apathy. 8, give and take in arm wrestling and in life.
Wow, I love it. That's beautiful. Like, we do these talks. Some people may not be aware of this, but Carolyn is a public speaker. I've had the honor of listening to her and speaking with her at several places. And we do this great talk called Arm Wrestling Your Marriage. And it's pretty much a metaphor of what we have been through in our marriage when it even comes to arm wrestling.
We've certainly had our share, that's for sure, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's been a wonderful metaphor for life, and arm wrestling is great. And now, when you, what was my other question I was going to have? I should have written it down as I was going here. So now you're taking your arm wrestling to that's what I wanted to ask you, is what's in it for the future for you? And I know you're going to say God will show you when you are ready, but I want to dig a little bit deeper here. Okay, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. This is my final tough question. You are going to be turning 60 in January. You have arm wrestled over 3 decades. You have more world titles than most people would even dream of having, so at any moment you could stop, and yet you're continuing now because you love arm wrestling. But there is going to be a time you're not going to arm wrestle in the crowds per se. You're going to shift into training and doing more arm wrestling training camps. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you was, you know, can people hire you? So talk about that. If someone wanted you to just come out, you do trainings for them, you know, both privately and in group sessions. So people just simply have to email you and you'll set that up with them and you'll come and do trainings for them, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I've had the honor of training people from all over the planet, even you being with me in Sweden. We have friends out there. But armwrestlingworldwide.com is where they can find that information on the training.
Okay. Now, tell me, though, now, what's going to happen for you in the future? Why, you know, what do you see for yourself as you have this platform now?
This is one of the most difficult places to actually go as a professional athlete, quote, a legend, all that kind of stuff is, where do I see myself in the future? Yeah, I was actually thinking about that today. I didn't tell you, Carolyn, but I was actually thinking about, well, should I retire in 40 years of being an arm wrestler? I'm 36 years into the sport now, so 4 years from now. Should I retire then, or should I wait till I got my first world professional title, which was December of 1980, which would make it 2020? You know, I don't know. It's like, I have to say this, I believe God will let me know when I'm done. I feel like I'm in great shape. I've never trained like I'm training right now. In fact, I'm really shocked because I had my blood work done. I'm only creating half the testosterone that I'm supposed to be actually making, and yet I'm able to dominate the weight class that I'm in the sport of arm wrestling. I don't know. It's like, what do I do? It's almost like saying, when are you going to pass a torch? Is like, to me, like, when are you going to stop breathing?
Yeah, it must be a hard question. I'm sure the Olympians, they have the same kind of challenges. A lot of the gymnastic Olympians go into Cirque du Soleil. They continue doing it. But at some point, the body has to make a shift. I mean, there's a shift there, and some of them become sportscasters. A lot of the football greats have to come to terms with that. What does Michael Jordan do when he finally hangs up his shoes, or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? You know, they have to make a statement, they stand for something, and there's a platform. So I want to just graciously let you off the hook there and say that the jury's still out because you're still dominating and you've got these big tournaments coming up. So I want to say I wish you all the best as you go forward, and you will make that step forward when you're ready. Now, in the future, we do have a little surprise for our listeners, and we'll share more of that as the time comes on. But your birthday is in January, and you do live in San Diego. I'll leave it at that. Your birthday is in January.
And you did put on, a incredible, well-attended arm wrestling event for me when I turned 50. I was just thinking, we were just talking about this, how awesome it would be to actually have another arm wrestling tournament. I think you called it King of the Castle, right, Carolyn? King of the Castle.
Yeah, King of the Castle. I think we're going to do King of the Castle tournament.
When I turn 60, which is, wow, right around the corner.
Right, exactly.
But I have
and
to
it takes
say,
a year to
you
plan
know,
stuff.
It's such a blessing to have you, Carolyn, as all these years of being supportive of where God has placed me in my life. And I couldn't have anybody better on my side than you to watch me and go with me places that we've been over the years. I'm very grateful, and I love you so much for doing that.
Aww,
please hang in
there,
honey. We just got a little ways to go.
That's right. And I wanted to tell everybody, our listeners, again, wallunderground.com. Our next show, June 2nd, is our special guest is, and it's a great departure from arm wrestling, but still every bit as an athlete and a giver of the community, Joel Pliss, J-O-E-L and P-L-Y-S. He is a professional swing dancer. And if you don't think that takes some aerobic and strength and muscles and timing, You've got to listen to this next show. I had the privilege of meeting Joel and his wife, and they are at this moment in having a baby. So so they're in the middle of that. But he assures me that June 2nd he will be available for our radio show. We've got a lot of great guests coming up. I'm excited about these next six shows we have at the first Monday of every month. And broadcast on Sports City Chefs, so invite your friends to listen in. But next month is going to be everything swing dance and what that means, and we're going to have a lot of fun with that. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Alan, thank you so much for your great insight about things, and we wish you all the best in your tournament.
Thank you, sweetheart, and I look forward to meeting many of the people that are on this call, and we'll see you in Vegas.
Take care.
Absolutely. Take care, everybody.